Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Dr. Psych Mom Show. Today, I'm going to talk about responsive romance, which is akin to responsive desire, but something that I just made up right now and coined that term. We'll see how long I use it for. And before we do that, though, please do subscribe. Most recent subscriber episode was on the importance of compatibility. And happy anniversary to me and my husband. And the next will be, I don't know what, something or other. And I'll record that tomorrow. I'd like to have a nice backlog of these things to get through, you know, in case somehow I fall off a cliff and can't do them. Then there would, it's kind of like when my middle child was, this is a bit of a tangent, but when I got pregnant with my second, your milk dries up when you get pregnant. So, but I had, probably unsurprisingly to you guys, a store of breast milk in the freezer that lasted my firstborn months after I could no longer nurse her and carried her out through the end of her first year of life. So I like to have a backlog of everything, whether it is breast milk 13 years ago or how many years ago, probably 13 years, 12 years ago, or whether it is podcasts that are waiting to come out. Anyway, so what is responsive desire? If you don't know by now, I can't help you. I've been doing it for talking about it for so long. But yet again, responsive desire is when women are monogamous and they're no longer in the honeymoon stage, they no longer really experience spontaneous arousal, aka being horny. Instead, they need foreplay and touch in order to get excited. It doesn't matter how hot you are. It doesn't matter if you're their celebrity crush. If they've married you after 1.5 to 3 years of the honeymoon stage post-commitment, 1.5 to 3 years post-commitment, her hormones will change. Her body, you know, tells her it's the same old guy to procreate with. And so she doesn't feel drunk on new love anymore. That drunk on new love feeling is the biological equivalent of crack, and it is why people make babies and our species continues. So anyway, same thing happens with romance. Guys who, especially if they're more avoidant, so all of this is more relevant for avoidant people. So women who are avoidant crash out of the honeymoon stage into basically sexlessness more often, and men who are avoidant crash out of the honeymoon stage into zero romance more often, because both of those types of people have trouble with intimacy. But in general, there's also a main effect of honeymoon stage on romance. Obviously, the man is not doing as many romantic things later on as he is when he's drunk on new relationship energy. It's just completely obvious. He's not texting as much. He's not obsessed with her. He doesn't think about her every waking second. He doesn't think about, you know, leaving his work meetings to, you know, get her flowers before he comes home. He doesn't look at her and feel obsessive. If he still does, he's preoccupied attachment, right? And it's not really about her. That's his attachment style. So the healthier thing is to move into an attachment-based relationship versus an obsession-based relationship where, yeah, you're happy to see your partner at the end of the day, but it's not like the first week you ever knew them. And this is, you know, used to be considered commonsensical. And so men stop being as romantic after the honeymoon stage. But women miss that like men miss sex. And I'll tell you, there are plenty more women. Generally, if you have to say like who's doing more of what they don't want to do in terms of sex versus romance, women are. Because like on average, you know, women are having sex like once a week and men aren't planning dates or being romantic or doing any cute little romantic thing once a week, you know, in most relationships that I see. You know, especially if the guy is avoidant and there are more avoidant guys. So because there's more avoidant guys that crash out of the honeymoon stage and stop doing what they want than avoidant women, there's more preoccupied women. You wouldn't think that from the internet, but I've told you that numerous times. You know, there are more women having sex that they're not excited about than men doing romance they're not excited about. Because many men only do something romantic, like for her birthday, Valentine's Day or whatever, and she's still having sex with them like once a week. You know, and it honestly, even in time spent, she would still be ahead of the game, even if it's a 5 to 10 minute encounter every time. She's going to like 2 dates a year. And this is very, very common, you know, because a lot of men just think that, like women think, they think romance should be organic. and they blame the woman for the fact that they don't feel as romantic anymore, instead of understanding that that's natural honeymoon stage hormones that fade it. Makes him think that she's like the most wonderful, beautiful woman in the whole world, so that he impregnates her and makes a baby with her, and our species survives, right? Just like her body's telling her to make a baby with him by thinking he's like hot and sexy so that she wants to have sex with him. So the point here is within a long-term relationship, nobody can rely on spontaneous romantic or sexual desire, because you're going to be waiting for Godot. So much like I tell women, and this is the truth, that responsive desire is what kicks in monogamy. So you have to get yourself in the headspace where you mindfully and intentionally basically lay down and start to kiss and hug and touch. And at that point, your body can become aroused and you'll have sex, right? Because you'll want to, because the foreplay and touch has warmed you up. Well, it's the exact same thing with romance. So a lot of guys tell me that they don't plan date nights and they don't act romantic and they don't give compliments because they're just not feeling it. And it's probably because she's a bitch, you know? And, well, what the fuck, though? I mean, then why would you want her and expect her to understand responsive desire? And to these guys' credit, they don't expect her to understand responsive desire because they don't understand anything that's going on. They're just like in Plato's cave, you know, one of my favorite analogies. And they think that she just doesn't feel it anymore, and they don't feel it anymore, and those things are just not fixable, and they don't understand anything about biology or about the honeymoon stage or about hormones or about anything. So they just feel like they're not romantic anymore because she's a bitch, and she just bait and switched them, and, you know, like this whole level of thinking. She bait and switched me with pretending to be sexual, and that's why I don't feel romantic anymore, is because we don't have the same kind of sex that we used to have. So obviously, as I've taught you, that's bullshit garbage, right? And so she did not bait and switch anything. I have a podcast with that title, Honeymoon Stage and Why There's No Bait and Switch. And she's just not feeling it the same as she used to. And then she doesn't know that responsive desire can kick in. So what would romantic responsive romantic desire analogously look like? It would look like a man doing the things that I tell men to do in couples counseling. Put in your calendar to text message her something cute. Put in your calendar to buy her little cute stuff from Amazon. You know, it doesn't have to be expensive. Put in your calendar to schedule date night and a babysitter. If you wait until the spirit moves you, it's never going to move you because you are no longer in the obsessional honeymoon stage. There's a lot of water under the bridge and resentment in both directions. So there's a lot of women who are preoccupied attachment. They're still having sex with the guy. They're having, you know, sex a few times a week even, because preoccupied attachment women are very anxious about maintaining the relationship. And he's not done anything romantic in years, literally years, you know, anything that by any stretch could be considered romantic. Does he get her a birthday gift? Yeah, he does. That's kind of bare minimum, though, is a birthday gift. And she gets him a damn birthday gift, too. And she's having sex she doesn't want to have, you know. And so men that are preoccupied attachment don't really understand this because they don't talk to other men, and like goes to like, you know. So the preoccupied attachment men on the internet are all talking to each other, and then they think that their experience is the common universal male experience. It's not. You know, all the preoccupied attachment women are talking to each other on the internet and thinking that their experience is for all of women. These are all the women who I try to write podcasts, write posts and make podcasts for, like why men don't take care of you. And there are guys who help with housework and stuff like that, because those women don't understand that guys can be nice, just like the preoccupied attachment men don't understand that women can be nice, because none of those people saw a loving relationship growing up. So they get hooked into the same kind of dynamic where one person is cold and retreats and is avoided, and the other person is obsessional and controlling and jealous and preoccupied. So that's the only dynamic that they really understand. Insecurely attached relationships, though, frequently people understand more because it was modeled for them, not just because they're like smarter or something, but because it was actually something that they saw growing up, that people have to mindfully and intentionally, you know, stoke the embers of their relationship by doing things that then they will want to do once the thing is started. So if you're a guy listening to this that really was probably sent this by your wife, if you're avoidant, and it's really, you've been waiting to have the spirit move you to do the legwork of booking a couple's weekend, because you're going to have to talk to her mother to watch the kids. You hate her mother. You don't like to talk to her mother. You got a lot of shit on your plate at work. You know, the kids are really annoying anyway at this age, and they're all in your bed at night, and so you're exhausted all the time. And you know what? Your wife is pretty much phoning in the sex that you have anyway. So honestly, why should you go out of your way? You're sure that if she was doing a better job in bed, then you would turn into Mr. Romantic. But, you know, she's not, so you're not. So if you're that guy, why don't you think about how you could talk to her mother and have her watch the kids for two nights or one night and plan a couple's weekend and then see what happens? Because that's responsive romance. You will feel much better about her and the relationship when you are on the couple's weekend that you didn't think would be great anyway, that you thought would kind of, the juice wouldn't be worth the squeeze. Many people, it is worth the squeeze when they finally do it. They have a better time and a more romantic time, and some of their romantic feelings that they used to have kind of, you know, crop back up in those circumstances, especially because she's so happy and she acts more like how she used to act too. And so then that's a virtuous cycle where more romance leads to more sex, leads to more romance, leads to more sex. Now, if you're a preoccupied attachment guy listening to this, you're like, but I am romantic. I'm so romantic. I leave her cards. I leave her notes. I do all of these things. I do all of these things. And she doesn't sleep with me. And she doesn't want romance. And she doesn't want anything. Well, you're not the audience for this, right? And your wife wants you to lay off and to listen to my stuff on preoccupied attachment husbands. She doesn't want more romance or more sex. She probably wants you to act more independent and less dependent on her approval for everything that you do. And at that point, she might find that more attractive. But if you are a man who's been accused of not being romantic, then this podcast is for you, just like the responsive desire ones are for women who have been accused of not being sexual anymore or not having enough sex with their husbands. If your wife has said you are not romantic enough and you don't do cute little things, and do you even love her, then you have to get yourself in the headspace that you are out of the honeymoon stage now. You used to be drunk on new relationship energy. Your dopamine and adrenaline and everything was different than it is now. It was a different internal neurotransmitter cocktail. And therefore, you acted at your most romantic then. And she misses that a lot. And so if you're never going to feel moved to do that randomly because you're not drunk anymore. Just like I make the analogy of, like, if you expect your wife to have honeymoon stage sex with you after the honeymoon stage, it's like expecting her to dance on the bar when she's sober. She's not going to dance on the bar when she's sober because she's not drunk. So what you can do, though, is say, okay, I may have to engage in responsive romantic desire, which means that I schedule something, much like my wife, I wish would, and many of these women do, but would schedule sex and then get in the mood for it later. I'm going to schedule romance and then get in the mood for it later. So I'm going to schedule a date night, and when I see her dressed up and excited to go, my romantic feelings are at that point going to kick in, even if I had a rough day at work, even if I think that going out to dinner is stupid and a waste of money. Similarly, if you buy her a little present, even if you think it's stupid and a waste of money to buy her a little present, and you do buy her a little present and she's flattered and she's smiling and she's happy, that's when your feelings of romance may kick in, much like the responsive desire kicks in when the woman puts herself in the frame of mind to be sexual and begins touching and begins foreplay. So it is some sort of illusion among preoccupied men that men all maintain their similar level of romance forever and that women's sex drive goes down. That is not true. In all humans, all drives go down over time. If you're preoccupied attachment, then you're obsessed with her. That may not be coming out that romantic, by the way, either. It may come out very much like you're just waiting for mommy to tell you you did a good job, and that is not romantic either, by the way. So as always, if these things seem like a bridge too far, then therapy or coaching or anything like that can help you get in the right headspace, because some men just don't believe me. They're like, no, romance has to be spontaneous, or it has to be organic, or it's fake. Well, that's just not true. You know, you can intentionally create a dynamic You could at least try. Just like when women say to me, oh no, that would never work. If I started to kiss him and touch him, I would never get in the mood. Yes, you would. And many try and they're like, oh yeah, I do get in the mood. Yeah, no shit. Wow. Oh, that's pretty different, you know? And people are actually kind of pleasantly surprised to see that there's a different way to get at the same sort of outcome. So you want, if you want your marriage to work, then you want to have sex with your husband. So many women are quite relieved that responsive desire works. And they email me and they're like, oh, wow, responsive desire works, you know? And similarly, many men, many male clients I've had, or even just readers and people on the internet are like, wow, I tried the things from your post, 10 concrete ways to be more romantic to your wife. And she really liked it. Thanks so much. You know, she's acting different toward me. And these are men that are literally following shit on a list. That's not organic. That's not spontaneous. But it's useful because that is how romance works. And I'll link my, actually, it's one of my first podcasts. If you like podcasts, you just go to the Spotify app. There's a search bar and you type in romantic, possibly romance, but I think romantic. And then you'll get 10 concrete ways to be more romantic or something like that. All right. I hope you guys found this idea of responsive romance to be interesting. And I will talk to y'all soon. Have a great day, guys.